You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Please search for Fakeologist Audio Chat and Fakeologist Main Show on your favorite podcast app. To listen to the live stream, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. Now, on with the audio chat.
Okay, hello there, everybody. It is Saturday morning, February 8th, year of our Lord 2020. I am in the live stream audio chat with Jelly, who is the longest serving minder of the Discord we've ever had at Fakeologist. Always there, always reliable, and always improving his English accent. Good morning.
Good morning, yes. Always working on it. Always there. But to be honest, it's a pleasure and there is not that much trouble or... behavior to correct, let's say. It's an easy and great job. And it's been almost a year now since I've joined this Discord, so I figure I get better with time.
Very good. Yes, you are better with time. Definitely better with time.
Yes, yes. So not much on the news, not much on the media circus this week. Just the continuation of this coronavirus hoax.
Yeah, I think the coronavirus will be with us for quite some time. I'm quite sure of that. I think they're going to run this one. Yeah, did you watch Event 201, which is the planning stages of the coronavirus hoax, Event 201? Because maybe
we
there's a clue
in that. We did speak about it last week also. Yes, so I watched it. I didn't watch or read anything about that, but I did watch a lot of movies about pandemics, global meltdown due to a disease or whatever. And let me tell you, it's everything is the same, almost to the scenario of those movies. It's exactly the same thing, exactly like. The Ebola scare, not the one of the few years before, but the first Ebola scare, the late 90s Ebola scare, it was totally reminiscent of this movie with Dustin Hoffman, Virus, where this monkey is brought from Africa and bringing this hemorrhagic fever, if you remember that one.
Well, I never watched it, but I do remember the
general plot.
I've never watched any of these pandemic movies. I guess it's just something I don't want to experience. It's just not something I want to watch. I'm not sure they're very popular movies either. They're not horror movies. They're not... They almost have their own category. They're just scare movies. And I don't think a lot of people want to watch a movie just to be constantly scared. So therefore, I don't know, do they do well? Should we look on IMDb
yes.
and see what yes. the gross was of that movie?
Yes, everything that is post-apocalyptic or total meltdown of society related is every time is a success. Like the 2012 movie that John LeBon was referencing in his video. That movie or The Day After Tomorrow, all those catastrophic event movies, they always make a great success.
They do?
People
I'm
love
sure,
to be scared, in fact. Yes.
Oh. Can you look on IMDb and see what the grosses are? Because they always, on IMDb, they show how much it costs to make and the worldwide gross, which gives you a clue
yes.
as to whether... you want.
Yes.
You can look at
but
it.
There is a... I'm watching Wikipedia at the moment. IMDb, I'm sorry. So, thing is, those movies, there are an endless supply of those movies. 2 years passed, they did Sant Andreas, and before that, they did another one. It's a never-ending topic, let's say.
Can you see the money they made, though? Can you look it up?
Detail. Okay. So, IMDb will not tell me that, but Wikipedia will tell me the budget and the estimated income.
Oh, Wikipedia, okay.
Most of the time they do.
When I think of movies, I just go to IMDb, but maybe Wikipedia is better for everything.
So, Wikipedia doesn't give the budget or the income. For most of the movie, they do, but it's a movie from 95, so...
Yeah. IMDb, I'm sure
IMDb
does.
IMDb Pro, okay. Oh, but okay. To access those info, you get to...
You gotta pay.
Exactly. Get to start the 30-day free trial or be a member. But the thing is that, to give you some context, the movie I was mentioning, Sant Andreas, about the fall of Sant Andreas near San Francisco and Los Angeles, I mean California at large, that movie was made with Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock. So if The Rock is in one movie, this movie has absolutely no chance of flopping. This guy is only making movie that is sure are making big money.
The Rock is a wrestler.
Yes, exactly. But he did go way, way, way beyond that, to be honest.
Okay.
But my opinion of a global pandemic is that for some reason there is an old movie called Omega Man with Charlton Heston, where the guy is a scientific that is in an helicopter when the disease hit, but the depiction of the disease is just someone sneezing on the street, falling down, the person next to him or her sneezing, falling down, and just like that, in 10 minutes, everyone is dead. It's not like a slow burn where you get travel restriction and all this long, winded scenario. Omega Man, with Charlton Heston. It's a movie from 1973. To give you an idea of the popularity of those kind of movies, this movie Omega Man has been remade with Will Smith as the main character. The remake is called I Am Legend, and it's a fairly popular movie.
It's called I Am what?
The remake is called I Am Legend. Just I Am Legend, I Am a Legend or The Legend. Just I Am Legend. That's the Will Smith remake.
And that's supposed to have something to do with a contagion or a
It's a movie that is... it's kind of a monster movie, because after the pandemic hit, all that remain except the main character are a brainless creature that want to kill him. But the start of the movie is the remake with Will Smith is like they develop a cure for cancer, and suddenly the cure is starting to turn people into monsters, and the monster take over the world.
Oh boy. See, that's definitely a movie I would not watch. Too stupid for me.
At one point, there was a few people that did this long movie analysis that say that there were some hints about the economic meltdown to come, because, for example, when Will Smith is driving in lifeless New York, there is an advertisement for the movie Batman versus Superman, which had not been made at the time. So people were saying, okay, when you start to see billboard for Batman versus Superman, you can start to worry a bit. But evidently, nothing happened.
Yeah, worry that the movie's going to come out. But I don't know if that was a good movie or not. I know it did come out, I think. I don't know. There's so many comic book movies. I've seen a few of them only under protest.
Yes, the thing is, since my daughter is a big fan of those movies, I have to watch them as quick as I can to be sure that she will not be exposed to something too horrible, let's say.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry. I don't worry about stuff like that. I think reading the news is more horrible than any movie.
Yes.
So I don't preview movies for my children.
You don't?
Although, no. Well, they don't go to movies. They might watch them when we download them. We'll download a movie, and my wife usually watches old stuff from the 50s and 60s. So that stuff's pretty tame.
Okay. I had a bad experience that made me preview everything as much as I can that my daughter is seeing. Because once I was at my mother's home with her when she was probably something like 5 or 6, and I was about to cook, so like every good parent is doing when you cannot really watch over your children, you put the TV on. And I was sifting through the channel, just trying to find something for her, and she sees Hello Kitty. Being a girl, she's like, oh, I want to watch Hello Kitty, it's so nice. So I said, okay, just watch Hello Kitty. I be mindful of you, but I am in the kitchen cooking. And I was hearing the television. And at one point, one of the characters goes to one of the small cat characters that has a necklace and say, what is your necklace? It's so beautiful. And suddenly the other character replied, those are the tears of God. This is a very precious necklace. So hearing that, I immediately stopped everything I'm doing, put the TV off, sit with my daughter explaining fiction, all those things that I didn't intend to explain her at that time. So that was my bad experience with TV and my daughter that motivates me to preview as much as I can what she's exposed to.
Okay. Well, at least it wasn't violent or sexual.
Yes, at least, at the very least.
It was religious.
But next year, yes, but next year she will have access to the internet on the smartphone that will be her own when she be 14. So that is another problem. That is something that we have absolutely no control over.
Oh, you're getting her a smartphone at that age? Is that, that's what you've decided?
That has been hardly negotiated, let's say. I try to get her the smartphone as late as possible, but 14 was the age that was negotiated.
Well, yeah, 14, she's probably looking around, and everyone except her has one, because it starts really early.
Yes, exactly. And there is only so much thing that you can do to distract a kid from a smartphone or from an unlimited access to internet. It's unavoidable. There is no way around it. One day, if someone wants to have access to the internet and deprive your kids of it, in the end, it might be very, very dangerous, because everything is based online and you can learn so many interesting things. So in the end, like you say, the news is horrible enough. You don't really need much to be afraid of the world.
Yeah, when I've had a smartphone, I've had a phone since the 80s, and I always, because I'm mobile all the time, I always wanted the internet on my phone. So I've had every type of internet on my phone that I could get, and only since the iPhone, which I suppose is 12 years old now, was the internet usable. Before, it was not really usable. It was too slow. Could not really see a web page clearly. You certainly couldn't type easily onto it. It was just a nuisance. It was not really worth the effort to use it. But the iPhone changed all that. And then, of course, all the knockoffs came on, which is what I have. And now it's fairly usable. It's not perfect, but you can pretty much do a lot of things on your phone that you can do on the computer, although I still have a desktop computer wired at my house because I prefer that with a big screen and a keyboard and a mouse and all the nice things that make using a computer better. But when you don't have that because you're on the road like I am, I really appreciate the smartphone, although I don't do much composing. I do more reading. I don't really type much because it's a nuisance, even with the little keyboard and all the autocorrects and things. I'll type a word correctly, and then I won't even notice it changes it to what it thinks, and then when I look at it, I say, oh no, did I spell that wrong? Or it switched it on me without me really noticing. So now I got to go back and try and take it out. It's a real issue. I know I could turn autocorrect off because it works better than it doesn't, but it's still imperfect.
Yes, I had to disable the autocorrect because I always forget to switch between French and English. So I wanted to write something in French. It was corrected in English and then the opposite. So I had to switch it off altogether because it was a nightmare.
I think you just have a phone. Do you have a desktop that you use?
I have a desktop, but the thing is that the screen is broken. So when I want to use it, I get to plug it into a TV. So let's say that in the past year or so, I totally stopped using the desktop, the laptop. I mostly store data on it, to be honest, and I use the cell phone 99% of the time. That's why, in fact, I'm not posting anything on the website because it will be an horrible task to start to want to write something serious with the cell phone.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, it's not worth the effort. Yeah, well, it's been a pretty slow week. If you want to look on fakeologist.com, the only things I'm semi-interested in is what I post about. And I've got moreab.fakeologist.com, which, of course, is my non-fakery website. And I do quite a bit of replying on Twitter. I have to admit, I think Donald Trump is the one that really got me and probably most of Twitter users back to Twitter. Because it was originally a micro-blogging service where anybody could just create a blog, even if the blog entries were super small, 140 characters. Now it's 280. But it's hard to navigate because obviously you got to look what Twitter shows you, and you never see all of someone's content unless you drill down and click their name, because you're just seeing everyone's content flow together, which is a nuisance because some people just constantly retweet, and then you see 20 of their retweets, which are not interesting usually. So it's sort of a messy service, but I do some replying on Twitter as well, yeah.
Yes. One thing I saw that you posted this week is something about the Weinstein case. And I reflect back on it for a few minutes yesterday. And the thing is that why the guy wouldn't take the role of the rapist in the end? I mean, when they are making a movie, someone's played the rapist. And the guy has absolutely no problem with that. I mean, if it's a role, you do what the scenario is saying. And there is absolutely no way that you say, but I am Harvey Weinstein, I don't want to play that role because so and so, and I am powerful. You are not powerful, you are playing a script. If the script says that now you are supposed to be the rapist guy and all that, you do what you are told and that's it. And there is absolutely no way that an actor is going to change the script.
Well, actors can choose their scripts, and I'm sure they can decide whether they want to do it or not. I think he has a choice. I don't think he's being forced or blackmailed. I think the concept to learn here is there are lifetime actors or LARPers. People don't know that certain media people or movie people or Hollywood people assume these LARPer roles. No one is discussing that. No one talks about it. Just give me 2 minutes and I'll be back. You could just stay, just wait, because if you start talking, then I can't respond because I can't hear it because I have to step out for 1 sec.
Yes, I understand.
So if you could just hold on, that way I don't miss what you have to say, because just give me 1 sec here.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Yes, I'm back.
Yes, so like you say, the LARPers, and that was exactly my point. This guy has spent his life playing this role, at least all his adult life playing this role. And he got to do what he got to do. The perks that came with his role in that scenario came with the fact that at one point it was understood between each and everyone that he could be asked to play a different part, more likable guy, let's say.
Yeah, well, I can imagine if a man is in a position of power that he can take advantage of women. That's. I think any man can understand that. I've never been in a position of power, so I don't.
Oh, you've been. It's called prostitution. Well, if you have money and someone.
Yeah.
Then you are in a position of power in the end.
Yeah, I've never used a hooker, and I don't think I ever will. Just I'm not that.
You know, the concept is the same.
Yeah, but that's easy to understand because you just pull out your wallet and then you got 20 minutes or 5 minutes of power, however long you take. But when you're a Hollywood producer and you're controlling the money to make people famous, I can see that easily being abused. So I'm sure it's really easy to believe that he could play that role. So for him to play the role in an exaggerated way, 90 women, maybe he did do 90 women, but it just seems too round a number, and are the women compliant because they're so desperate to be famous? Well, I've never met women like that, but there probably are. There's probably people so desperate to be famous they would do just about anything. And so it's all very believable is my point. It's easy to believe, and I guarantee nobody would consider it a LARPing role because he looks like he plays the part. He's a big, ugly, fat guy. Well, he is now. He might not have been 25, 30 years ago, but it's just easy to believe. So the line between reality and fiction is very, very thin.
Yes. Yes. The thing that I notice in some of those sexual abuse allegation case is that they always, or at least in many cases, like the Epstein or the Michael Jackson case, say that the supposed rapist or sexual molester has a strange shaped sexual organ, let's say.
Oh, like, yeah, for example, penis. There yeah, is yeah. A, you can say penis.
Yes, yes, okay.
Yeah, so is that some sort of sign? Is that some sort of sign that it's fake? Because is that just an exaggeration to make people pay attention?
I don't know what it is, but I did notice that, like, they say that Michael Jackson has a strange colored penis. There is a video on YouTube of Jeffrey Epstein, and I will play it even, because why not? The guy is dead.
All right.
He will not sue fakeologist.com for use of private material. So, what we are about to hear is Jeffrey Epstein. I think that he's answering to police, but I am not sure. The thing is that he walked away from the interview. So, I will play this. Let me just catch the link. The joy of doing everything on a cell phone. Okay, I got it right. It will start play. So, it is Jeffrey Epstein answering question about the shape and size of his penis.
Would you raise your right hand, please?
Yes.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you guys?
Yes, I do. Could you please give us your name?
Jeffrey Epstein.
Is it true, sir, that you have what's been described as an egg-shaped penis?
Form, vague, indefinite, and I'm going to give you the first warning, Mr. Tudeman, that these types of questions are not only argumentative, but directed in a manner to embarrass Mr. Epstein. If you continue with this type of question, I'll adjourn the deposition immediately.
Sir, according to the police department's probable cause affidavit, one witness described your penis as oval-shaped and claimed when erect it was thick towards the bottom but was thin and small towards the head portion and called it egg-shaped. Those are not my words. I apologize. But as Mr.
Now adjourned.
As Mr. Critton has stated, that this is a... I'm willing to continue.
And then he go up and leave. So, that is another response. And I think that there is also that in the Weinstein case, where they say that he has erectile
any way you slice it, it's a stupid question. And would that ever come up in a real interview? No, I think this is a farce. It's a fictional story. And it's the only way you can get people's attention is with sensational points. And this is a bizarre, stupid question that really isn't relevant to anything.
Yes.
And
in the end, why would someone from the police ask
you
a stupid question like that?
Tells me that these are LARPers asking, they're playing a role back and forth.
Yes.
Yes. Stupid.
Because in the end, this type of question would only be asked if you are already in detention and you have no way to leave. If the cops know that you are free to leave at any moment, he will refrain from asking you a stupid question that will obviously make you get up and go. You will be more smart than that. Ask you a few questions, and then when he feels he knows enough.
No rich person in the United States would answer any questions without a lawyer. Everyone
has the right. Yes, I think that we can hear that a lawyer is present. I think that we can hear the voice of a lawyer at one point. That's
well,
okay,
any lawyer
we not
would
answer
say,
anyone.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's fine. Yeah, any, yeah, that's okay. I didn't know that, but I don't know what to think of the Epstein is another, in my belief, LARPer. And did he really have an island, and did he really solicit underage, or 18-year-olds are not underage by law, so if you call them underage, it's still legal, I suppose, in some countries or all countries. So did he really organize these sex junkets? Well, maybe. But I can tell you, I know lots of people that aren't rich and famous that go to Caribbean and to Asia on sex junkets. It's nothing new. It's the oldest business in the world. And
yes,
it happens. You don't have to be rich. You can just have a little bit of money. And you can go you can go to any island in the Caribbean, and some islands
don't
are more
need to go that far,
famous
to be honest,
than others.
You can go to, for example, a guy like me. Not that I would ever undertake such adventure, but the thing is that you can go to Romania, you can go to Czech Republic, you can go to Slovakia, you can go to whatever Eastern European country of your choosing and do exactly the same thing that you can do in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
So it's nothing new, like
you
said. Usually
poor countries are better because you get more for your money.
Exactly.
I'm guessing. And you can take advantage of more younger women, I'm sure, because they are more desperate. They're not more interested in you, they're just more desperate, which is definitely an unequal power position, which is bad, but people exploit others.
Yes.
That's just the way it is. And rich people would just be able to go to more exotic places, bring in the women.
Countless story of current or former French member of the government that were supposedly coked in Morocco with small boys. There are neat different names that goes around those type of circle, let's say. The conspiracy-minded people know a lot of stories of French former or current member of the government that are implicated in shady stories.
Yeah. So is Epstein dead? I doubt it. But was he, I think he's another blurred line case where he was probably doing or organizing this kind of thing, and he was just told, okay, we're going to make an example out of you. You're not going to go to jail, but we need you to do this public service where we expose the dirty deeds and we show the public what could happen or what we would like to happen to people like you. And it's just what they call a noble lie. It's for a good cause. It's trying to expose the issue. And without some celebrity attached to it, no one's going to pay attention. And I don't think too many people cared about Epstein. Bill Cosby was probably more interesting because he had a huge following.
And also, I don't think that neither those two guys, Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein, had kids. So they could be put in that position, if I am correct. Oh, I'm sorry. Harvey Weinstein has 5 children. So that was a theory that I had, but it's not correct. I thought that if you choose to be publicly slandered, at least they will take a guy that doesn't have kids.
Yeah, well, maybe they're grown by now. It doesn't matter.
Yes. And Harvey Weinstein is saying that he's currently dying of some kidney illness and that he wants to be released to die in his own home with his family.
Yeah, I think that might be an act as well. That way he'll get public sympathy, and if he doesn't go to jail, people just figure, oh, he's going to die anyway, who cares? I think that's probably an act as well. I'm sure of it.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's just a way
that
to cut short that story.
Yeah, just a way that he won't go to jail. Of course, he can't go to jail because this is all a big acting job and there's no court, and the courtroom drama is all done in Hollywood. It's not in a real court. That's my theory.
Yes, I do.
And all his victims are actors. or actresses, which is perfect because they're all doing a good job of acting. You know, they're not going to put a cocktail waitress up there or a cleaner or somebody who's not an actress. And it's very believable that he would be after actresses because they want him for his accessibility to the industry. And it's all totally believable. It has to be. That's what makes it really hard to expose it as a LARPing event, because it looks so real.
Yes. There was also one story. I don't know if you ever knew that story or remember it, but does the name Dominique Strauss-Kahn remind you of anything, by any chance?
Yeah, wasn't he a UN ambassador or something?
Oh, he was way more than that. He was a big French political figure. He was Jewish, that is to be mentioned, because Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein also were, supposedly. Not the idea. I don't think that you can find them any time at the synagogue or whatever. They were just of Jewish descent. But anyway,
right.
He was a big wig in the French political circle. He was the director of the FMI, the International Monetary Fund. And he was one of the leading names to succeed Nicolas Sarkozy.
Oh.
At one point. So he was a big, big political figure, and supposedly he kind of raped a house maid in some hotel
cleaner,
in New York. Yes, a cleaner,
York,
a room cleaner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Supposedly he did
and
that,
it's good,
yes.
And it's good that they do it in New York, because nobody does fake trials better than New York.
Yes, yes. But that kind of destroyed his political ambition, at least. That
yeah,
was the backstory of it.
Yeah, I remember. That's a while ago.
Yes. And that gave way to be honest, a pretty weak president that in the end gave way to Emmanuel Macron. Emmanuel Macron, the backstory of this guy was that he was a banker for the Rothschild Bank a few years back, and supposedly he was invited to the Bilderberg meeting when he was nothing, when he was no one, when almost no one knew about this young guy.
Yeah. Do you follow French politics more than Swiss, because you're French?
No, not really. The thing is that there is not that much happening in Swiss politics. Tomorrow, there is votation in Switzerland to extend the legal protection for the gays and lesbian people of the world, let's say.
Yeah.
We are creating another protected.
Is it a president?
There is a head of the state, let's say, but it's a council of seven members that are given a different responsibility and that kind of decide how can I say that? Well, yes, they discuss everything and they get together, and like there is one for security, economy.
I guess for the simplicity's sake, do you have a president or a Donald Trump or you don't have that?
Yes, we have that, of course, but it's more like, what can I say that, representation job than anything. The guy has no bigger power than the other one. It's just that if you get to send someone, most of the time that's this guy that you send.
I bet you almost anyone in North America could not name one Swiss politician ever. And I'm one of them. I could not name one Swiss politician in the history of Switzerland. I have no knowledge of anything Swiss. And I guarantee everyone listening now is in the exact same position, except you, maybe.
Yes, the thing is that the guy we have now, Uli Maurer, Limara was on CNN, I think, last year. I will try to find the clip. And if you think
never
I have an accent, yes, okay, but how can I say that? If you
is he French or German or
is German?
So many dialects
he's German.
There.
Yes, he's German. He's German. So let's listen to a bit of Limara on CNN.
That indicates to me that nothing happens in Switzerland. Nothing except maybe.
Not really. Yes, the thing is that there is nothing that needs to happen. Everything is
Can you hold the clip? Hold the clip for one minute. I just got to step out. Just give me a minute before you play it.
Yes.
I want to hear it. All right. Go ahead there.
Yes. So, Uli Maurer, our beloved leader on CNN. My beloved leader.
Swiss President Uli Maurer is visiting Washington amid U.S. efforts, sources say, to establish a channel that would allow officials to speak to Iran. President Maurer joins us live now from Washington. So, President Maurer, Donald Trump wants Iran to call him. Should they make that call?
Trump wants that Iran should meet Sanjay.
No, we have this mandate, the protection mandate in Iran for the United States. That's 2 points: open relations and protection of the U.S. citizens in Iran. That's our mandate, and not more.
Your meeting with President Trump today, what was discussed specifically about Iran and the U.S. opening up a diplomatic channel or talking to Iran?
I think our mandate is
confidential,
and I have not the possibility, the opinion to inform you.
What was your specific message to President Trump today?
We had not, it was not concrete. It's nothing for the publicity.
If there are no direct communications between the United States in Iran, what role can the Swiss government play in at least the escalating tensions right now between the U.S. and Iran?
We have not a role to play. Switzerland is not a global political player. We have this mandate with 2 points and not more.
The fact that you are actually meeting President Trump right now amid the crisis between the U.S. and Iran, should we interpret that as a possible sign of hope that things between the United States and Iran may indeed get better?
It's a useless question.
Completely useless question.
That was not the reason to our visit here. We had this free trade agreement, bilateral contacts in economy, and of course we have this mandate for Iran, we have perhaps the mandate for Venezuela, we had this mandate for Cuba, and that's a quality of Switzerland, but it was not the reason for our visit today.
Okay. Also, much of the nuclear deal was actually negotiated in Switzerland. Do you feel that those years of hard work are now being lost?
Can you repeat, please?
Of course. No, I was just saying that much of the nuclear
deal... What a useless question.
Not a problem at all. Much of the nuclear deal was negotiated in Switzerland. Do you feel that those years of hard work have now been lost?
I cannot nothing say to this issue.
All right, President Maurer, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for saying absolutely nothing.
Yes, the guy was clearly had nothing to say about Iran, and at one point he even said, "We are about the money. We don't care about nothing else." And yes, he wanted to speak about Iran because, like he said, we are fuck Switzerland. I'm not with those guys. They are mandated to have the diplomatic representation. No, the diplomatic representation of the USA in Iran and Cuba is made by Switzerland.
But again, a completely useless interview, completely useless questions. Of course, she didn't write the questions, but it just shows you these are completely scripted puppets. They have nothing on their mind. They got nothing to say. They don't do anything real. What a total waste of anyone's time to listen to anything political. But that guy was especially useless. And this speaks, of course, to the brilliance of the Trump actor. He is one of the most entertaining leaders in the history of the media. He's absolutely fantastic. He makes his own media. Well, I think if you look on Twitter, it says he's got 17,000 tweets. I don't think he's done most of them. I'm sure he has something to do with them. I'm sure it's his style. I doubt that he is coming up with all these millions of points. Why would he? Presidents don't need to do anything. Yes. They can direct. They're directors. They say, you do this, you do that. They don't do any of the work. They're directors. They just say, you go here, you go there. And I think he's one of the best, and I don't really think anything is changing over the last president. I have no disillusions there. But as far as entertainment value, this guy gives something to talk about every single day. You couldn't ask for a better situation if you are in the media. You've always something to talk about every single day, whereas with other presidents, you might have to make up half the stuff, and most of it would be not interesting. And,
yes, the next one Trump will be boring.
Trump is going to be the next president. He'll go another 4 years, but after that...
Oh, yes. After that.
Who knows?
After that, you get to be someone
after that, I guarantee it's someone we would never think of it. You'll need someone just as entertaining to maintain. So it'll probably have to be an actor. In 4 more years, we don't know who that could be. We just don't know. But it'll have to be an actor. He set the bar so high for entertainment that if we had a lawyer or somebody really boring, businessman, can you imagine having a guy like the Swiss president? The news would fold in half. They would collapse because they would get no ratings, no money, and no one would watch.
Yes, but this guy is especially boring, to be honest.
I use my parents as an example. They never would have watched TV like they did. They're older now, of course, but I have never witnessed two people with more TDR, Trump derangement syndrome. These people are addicted to all the left media channels, MSNBC and ABC and CBS and NBC, whoever's talking about it, CNN. They don't probably watch. I guarantee they don't watch Fox, which is on the right. They are just so addicted. They literally rush to the TV to see what he's done today. And they think the end of the United States is coming because of him. They think every single talking point, they believe. It's incredible because these are smart people. But they are so deep into Trump derangement syndrome. They're just so deranged by this man. They're addicted to him, though. They have to see what he's going to say next.
I think that's why he was put there in the end. Because they tried to polarize everything with Obama, and it worked in certain ways, but maybe not as much as they expected. So
the U.S. has always been polarized. Every time I hear it, we've never been more polarized. Well, they've used that line for the last 50 years, as long as I can remember. So how can you be more polarized than last year when you just said we couldn't be more polarized? They're so polarized that the statement is meaningless now. It's meaningless, though. Whenever you cry wolf, you can only cry wolf two or three times, and if it doesn't happen, then the words don't have any meaning, and they have no meaning to me now. Trump is just the best actor they've ever had there. He's more interesting. He's not any smarter than any of the other guys, but he's just more entertaining. And all the people that pretend they hate him in the media, they owe their jobs to him. They owe their well-being. They owe their whole careers. This guy is saving the media, the old media, because no young people are watching old media. I guarantee that. None of them. They're all on Instagram. They're not even really on Twitter, I don't think. And they're not even on Facebook. I'm talking about the young people. Just give me 2 minutes here and think about that idea. And give me your comments. Just give me 2 minutes before you talk. What social media are your children on? Where do they get any? Are they old enough to care about any information?
Not really. The thing is that, to be honest, my daughter that is 13, She is totally propagandized about each and every topic you could think of. I mean, they put one refugee in her class, and she's like, yes, and the thing is that he is not really speaking French, so a lot of attention is diverted to him, and it's great. Okay.
Okay.
Why not? So, yes, the thing is that my daughter, she's totally propagandized. And I'm really worried about the future in that case, because, yes, what can you do about that? But like you said before you left, I don't think that much people are watching normal TV, let's say, anymore. And while you were away, I just put on the TV and I put the news, the 24/7 news channel. That this channel is famous for paying to put TV screen on hotels, playing this channel 24/7. So, thing is, in France, currently there are protests on the street each and every week for the past year or so, going on for more than a year and 3 months.
It's more?
Incredible thing.
It's a couple of years, isn't it? The yellow vest protests?
Yes, it started, let's say, to be large October 2018. And we are now in February 2020, and it's still going on in some sort of way. But the thing is that if you put, like I did, the French news channel on, what could they be speaking about right now? It's not interesting, the protest anymore. It's kind of old news. What they are saying is the president of the Ice Sport Federation has to resign because there were some kind of sexual scandal in the federation. Who could care about that?
Oh.
Who could really care about that in the end? This news is totally...
What is the federation?
The Ice Sports Federation, the French Ice Sports Federation. There was, suppose, a trainer. Yes, those sports. Skating, ice hockey, all that.
Oh, hockey, yeah. We like hockey. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Allegedly,
so
there was
a
coach that fiddled with
my young girl.
Yeah, something like that. And for some reason, the president of the federation is to resign. And what is the importance of such news? I mean, you can mention it because it's the news. You can say, okay, this guy has resigned. But to spend the better part of the last 10 minutes speaking about that while there is protest going on for more than a year in your country, for legit reason, it just shows that it's totally controlled and there is not that much that could be made of it.
Yeah, we don't hear about the protests here at all.
It started to die down. They don't say much about it anymore. There was a kind of revival, let's say, late November 2019 because of the strikes that the railway personnel was doing. But apart from that, it's slowly dying down. And the thing is that France and I think at large, most of the European countries, they are seeing some kind of change on the living standard, let's say. And they are not happy about it. They are not really to settle for less, let's say. But that's a reality. That's how the narrative is leading the country.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about France, but I do know... I get the idea that in Europe, most of Europe, the taxes are high and people don't really work even half as much as North Americans do. And, of course, North Americans are lazy compared to the Chinese because if you believe a video I just watched where they built a hospital in Wuhan in 10 days that holds a 1,000-room hospital. That, you know, I believe that. I really do.
Yes.
I don't know where the hell they get the money from to pay 2,000 people to work on it at one time. And they had about 12 cranes. I don't even know how the cranes didn't knock into each other because they're so close. It was almost like
the
an
thing
orchestra
is that,
to keep everything coordinated.
Like everything Chinese, I will be very worried about the quality control. To be honest, I will be more than worried about the capacity to have a very sterile room. You know,
well,
I'm very suspicious of that.
I'm not really as worried about that. I think American, Western countries have all their corporations in China doing business and making things happen. So that hospital is probably being built with Western engineering. American, British, Australian, you name it. So I don't really think too much negative about what they're building over there. Yeah, maybe some cheap, crappy knockoff products are being built there, or made in China. But as far as building stuff, I don't think that their infrastructure is inferior, because I'm pretty sure all our know-how is over there. And why wouldn't it be? Because there's no there's no incredible growth in North America or Europe. These countries, and I've said it before, rely on immigration to grow. I put a post on, maybe you could play it. I should play it on my own show, but I don't have my own show anymore. I'm busy, but there was a fantastic clip from the Noah Jenner Show.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
There was a fantastic clip on the No Agenda Show, number 1212, and from a movie. Pardon me?
The name of this show is Five Bidens.
Five Bidens, that's right.
Yes.
And if you go to moreab.fakeologist.com, I put a post, and we can discuss it, on probably the greatest weapon against humanity of all times that was invented in 19... or went into widespread use in the 60s, 1960s. Did you read that? I don't think you read my blog.
I do, but the thing is that it's not the easiest to navigate on mobile. So, Morehab is down.
Well, it does have a mobile display, so at least you can read it easily.
Yes. I'm sifting down, I'm going down more.
We gotta get you to, I want you to subscribe to a newsreader called Feedly, FEEDLY.com. They have an app, and you can read the blogs, anything you want to follow, in that app. It brings in all the feeds from the blogs, RSS feeds, and it's really easy to read blogs. You don't have to go to the websites. It pulls in all the text. You don't have to look at the graphics.
Okay, so it's like a more simpler display.
Yes, but you get all the important information without all the graphics. And you have all the blogs in one app that you want to read. My blog, of course, you want to read. Why wouldn't you? Anything else you want to read. Forums have feeds. Almost every forum has a feed. I don't know if Reddit has a feed. I don't really use Reddit. But Reddit has its own app anyway. They probably don't allow a feed. And it's just a really great way of... And all the media has their feeds, so CNN has a feed, your favorite newspapers have feeds, and it just brings it all into one app.
Yes. Feed so link. I am on the page, and the video is Gates of Heaven, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Yes, the thing is that I don't know how to start the video at 39 minutes with the bot.
Yes, that would be we need to know how to do that.
Yes.
I don't know either. I know you could do it with the TripBot, but TripBot left,
exactly.
And I don't want to rely on any one person for a bot. That's why I was weary about doing it in the first place, and of course he took off. So any commercial bot is fine, because at least it will be supported in a way.
Yes. So, FredBot Music Command.
I'm pretty sure you must be able to start it at a certain point.
Yes, exactly. Forward the track by the given amount of time. Okay, I get it. Let's try like that. So, all...
You're coming in very clearly tonight.
Yes, because I am inside, and I have the mic as close to my mouth as possible. So,
well,
let's
good.
Try it like that. No, not
Fred
anymore.
President Uli Maurer is visiting Washington amid...
Okay, it's pretty laborious, but... We will get there. Share. Okay. Et voilà. Getting the link from the website was strangely difficult, but I got it. So, let's go.
Okay.
And then, for...
Oh, that went to the beginning.
9-0-0.
Explosion.
Yes, I get it.
Throughout not only the United States, but throughout the world. And this is brought about
sort of the new pattern that has emerged in the last 10, 15 years in the family life. I would say that the pill is probably largely more responsible for the pet explosion than any other single factor. This is quite a surprise to a lot of people that don't understand the business and haven't done any background work. But it's very simple. The old style was for the husband to earn the living and the mother stayed at home. Today we have a different pattern. Today the husband and wife both work, and they want to prepare themselves with a home and some of the things that they'd like to have before they start a family. Well, this is just fine from a planning standpoint, but nature can't be put aside. So when the young mother comes home, she has to have something to fondle, something to mother, something to love. She'll have a pet. The rest of it, in the normal pattern, would be that the grandparents would have children, grandchildren, to take care of, to fondle, and to help to rear. And this would satisfy their need for love and giving of love and receiving. When this has been set aside for 5, 6, 7, or 8 years, what do? They get a pet. Now we're talking about both sides of the family. We're not talking about just one. Now we have a three-way explosion. Well, we're here to put things in the ground today, and I know
that
you
have it there, Jared. That was
this is something that you not look forward to, but I would just be interested to know.
Yes, so when you were speaking about the pill, you speak about contraceptive pill.
Right, that's right.
Yes, okay.
That was
excellent
the biggest
topic.
Weapon against humanity ever, and that is from someone who manages a pet cemetery.
Yes.
But his idea was that because women are not reproducing, and this is that film is from the 70s, that document. Isn't it 78 it's in there or something? That's from the 70s where he's observing.
Yes. The thing I can say about the pill is that the pill can kill someone. The pill is an horrible thing. I can give you something that is first-hand experience. When I was with the mother of my son, it was probably circa 2012, 2013. She was taking the pill and she started to feel kind of ill. She was feeling some kind of pain in her leg and she was not feeling well. So we did go to the doctor and the doctor made some kind of exam. He said, okay, you must go to the hospital as quick as you can. So we did go to the hospital where they diagnosed her with beginning of thrombosis. You know what thrombosis is?
Yeah, blood clot, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So, blood clot was starting to form in her legs, and if she was not to take the medication or whatever, she could have died, and some people died because of that. So, contraception pill are horrible. It's a very, very stupid thing to use on your body.
Well, there's many, many versions of the pill. This is as far as I know. They're all they do is alter, they stimulate the hormones of the woman's body to trick it into not releasing an egg. All nature. Basically, just messing with nature. And if one pill doesn't work or causes side effects, there are others. Some are have more hormones, more progesterone, more estrogen than others. They just have different doses of estrogen, simulated human hormones, I guess from cows, probably. And they definitely have side effects. They don't talk about the side effects. But the main thing I wanted to bring up with this pet cemetery owner is he was saying that the pill has caused a revolution in the pet business, and it's happening still today, where young women, especially, will get a dog and call it a fur baby, a baby. So instead of doing what's natural, having a child, having a family early, they'll get a dog. And that caused a huge explosion in the pet business in the 60s. And I don't know if it's going on today still. I don't have a pet. I have too many allergies, so I don't want anything in my house. I don't want any animals in my house. But he was just saying how the pill changed the whole landscape of the pet business. Because everyone likes something to love that's alive, usually. and grandparents, parents, instead of having children or grandchildren, have dogs and cats and everything in between. And that's what that was, I thought, the best social commentary I've heard, because nobody talks about it, because it's really, the pill was something to free women from what they naturally would do. And everyone thinks that's a great thing. And now the Western nations are paying the price, and it's been 60 years now, two or three generations, where we have the societies we do, where we have to bring in the third world to keep our nations going. Otherwise, they would implode. And that is a more deadly weapon than any kinetic weapon, tanks, machine guns, fake nuclear bombs. We have an internal weapon that is just, I would say, wreaking havoc. And I'm not saying it's the worst thing in the world, but you have to recognize that is the history of our society. This is why we are where we are, because women control more in society than men might admit, because they control the replacement of society. Because we all are going to die eventually. So if we're not reproducing, and the Catholic Church knows this, then the society will implode, or it will shift dramatically with people that are reproducing. That's very simple. You don't need any sociological degrees to figure it out. You look around. Tell me how many 20-year-olds, people in their 20s, have two or three children at this point. I guarantee you won't
white
find
people,
that many.
White people, not much.
Yeah, exactly. And you could argue that it's an education thing. Oh, yeah, when a woman is educated, okay, she finds out she can do anything a man can do and probably better. And obviously you can't do everything. You can't be a mother. You can't be a doctor. You can't do everything at once. Well, we know that. And you often have to make a choice what you want to do. So if a woman becomes super educated, which I'm not against, then something has to be sacrificed. And if that's a family at an age where you can reproduce in your 20s, and by the time you get enough, what you think is enough, and you try and reproduce and you're in your 30s, and all of a sudden all those parts don't work very well because they're not meant to work at that age very well.
Yes, and also the fact is that when you don't have children, you are in another segment of the market, let's say. So in the end, you are spending money differently. So for some people, it's kind of an hedonistic mindset, saying, yes, I will get children when I am in my 30s. And like you said, it's not that easier as time passes. So in the end, you end up having your first kid at 30, 32. And you have one, and that's it, because you don't really see yourself raising children in your mid to late 50s.
Yeah, just give me one second, we'll discuss. Anyway, I don't know why they played that clip on the show, but every now and then they play a clip that they don't discuss it the way I do or would like it to be discussed, and they don't realize what a golden clip they have. I went and watched the whole movie. Well, I didn't watch it, I listened to it. Listen to the audio. It's a fascinating movie about some guy who has a business in Northern California, Napa Valley, where they make wine, and he basically conducts funerals for pets because these are the new replacement family members for so many people. Pets.
Yes.
And they'll spend a fortune. I had a friend who doesn't have any money. He says, I want to buy a dog. I said, well, You better do some research before you buy a dog, because unless you got thousands of dollars for the food and the medical, unless you're one of those people who just let it out and let it run around, if you want to take care of this dog the way people think you should, you need thousands of dollars. I'm sorry. You go to the vet, they don't work on your dog unless you put your money on the table. They don't pay off. The money is on, and they authorize your... check your credit before they start. So if your dog needs a leg worked on or has some kind of blood work, forget it.
Yes.
You better get your wallet out.
Yes, tomorrow people will also vote here on the abolition of the dog tax, because the dog owner are subjected to a tax here. At least it's still the case. And It's such a meaningless and a stupid subject and so easy to put on votation that it's also to be decided tomorrow. I think that it's clear that it will be removed. Dog owners are numerous, and it's just to give the impression to the public that they are deciding something, that they are seeing change. But it's meaningless change, the dog tax.
Well, that just shows you where society has changed their focus.
Yes.
Animals.
Gay rights and dog tax.
Exactly. I just thought that clip was great. I really enjoyed that guy, and no smarter than he was just making an observation, but
yes, and he was in the best position ever to notice that.
Yeah, he's just would never think he'd get that from a pet cemetery owner. So if you want to watch an interesting documentary, which I like wacky documentaries, that one is pretty interesting about pet cemetery, yes. And the lengths people go when their dog dies, they're just so attached.
Yes, they are devastated when the dog is dying. I remember my mom was so sad when our cat fell down from the fifth floor. And not that I was not sad, but I remember thinking that it was not possible for me to be that sad because of that.
Yeah, well, listen, I had cats, even though I have severe allergies, and the only way to get rid of my allergies was to get rid of my mother's cats, and she wouldn't do it, so I suffered while I lived there. And when our cat, which was older than my sister, was murdered by the neighborhood dog who was never on a leash, and it was a big husky with white eyes, and it came up and just grabbed the cat by the neck, and one shake, and it was dead. Right there.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, so my cat was killed, and it was upsetting because, again, I knew the cat longer than my own sister at the time. So, yeah, I know the value of pets. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Yes, my mother once referred to our new cat as my brother. That happened.
Well, just as long as the cat's not in the will, as long as you get your care, right?
Yes, exactly. Oh, he will be taken care of if she ever died for some reason. I'm sure of that. But the thing is pretty old, so who knows? At this point, I think the cat will probably die before her. But yes, thing is that people get really, really attached to those animals, and there is no... it's like you said, it's like kids. If the cat
is ill, if
the person has $10,000... That person will pay for the cat.
Yeah, go watch that document. Yeah, and they won't spend the $10,000 on themselves if they need a medical procedure. They think it should be free. But they'll pay $10,000 for a dog or a cat.
Yes.
Go watch that movie because this guy who was speaking, the pet cemetery owner, he does a great job of dealing with people in mourning. And there's one guy that he conducted this ceremony at the cemetery. He's just fantastic the way he talked to the people. Just really, he was like a professional funeral director. Fantastic. That's a big business as well, funeral directing. But if you want to watch something different and watch someone with a unique insight into social engineering, go watch that. But I still think the pill was one of the biggest weapons against humanity and society as we know it. And people it's still wreaking havoc today, I think. I'm not sure it's for the better or for the worse. Could be for the worse. But I wonder if the guy, Aldous Huxley, the guy who wrote Brave New World, where I think they were envisioning just hatching children in laboratories.
And using an alcoholic solution to dumb you down in the mechanical room if they need to.
I wonder if he had any inside knowledge on the development of the pill, because the pill would have been developed, obviously, around the war.
Because, let me check, his name was Aldous Huxley, and his brother was Julian Huxley.
Julian, yeah.
Which,
but I wonder
yeah,
when
Julian
the
Huxley.
Pill was developed. Like, maybe the pill was in use before it was in mass production by the elite. Maybe. Maybe they had access to hormonal treatments to prevent pregnancy, even way before
okay,
that.
Okay, so...
and.
Yes, so the brother of Aldous Huxley was Sir Julian Sorrel Huxley, a British evolutionary biologist, eugenicist, and internationalist. He was a proponent of natural selection. So, if there was anything to be known about a developing contraception pill, this guy would have probably been in the known.
Yeah, you should look
he was
up the
first director of UNESCO.
Yeah, I put a link to the pill in that post, and I didn't really read it too much on Wikipedia, but I wonder who developed it. I'm sure the church was against it, but maybe they were for it, who knows. But yeah, you would think a eugenicist would have been right on board developing the pill.
Yes.
Because even without forcing women not to reproduce, just giving them this wonderful convenience of not being automatically burdened by children soon after they started having sex, that would be a eugenicist dream pill.
Oh, yes.
Sell that. You wouldn't even have to sell women on that.
Oh, you just have to let them know it's possible.
Yeah.
So, oral contraceptive pill first used 1960 in the United States, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I wonder where it came from. Some eugenicist must have come up with that one.
Yes, clearly. But I don't know if they put forward a specific name. I'm quickly reading through the Wikipedia page, but they don't say much about some specific individual. They say some things about the pills, and that's it.
Yeah, well, see? Why? There's history for everything. Why wouldn't
yes.
there... Yeah, maybe do a search for history of the pill, where it came from, and anyone listening can... you can chime in on the audio chat. We're here every Saturday morning, Eastern Standard Time. That's usually between 5 and 6 a.m. we show up. This is when the Fart Podcast used to be on, but
okay,
it's not on
I
right
got you
now,
a name.
Or... Oh, yeah.
I got a name. The Okay. So, according to The Guardian, the pill,
Guardian.
A combination of the hormone estrogen and progestin, was developed in the U.S. in the 1950s by the American biologist Dr. Gregory Pincus. So, Gregory Pincus was the father of the
Pincus.
Abortive, the contraception pill. So, let's type the
How
name.
How do you spell
on.
That last name? P-I-N-K-U-S?
Gregory Pincus. P-I-N-C-U-S, born in 1903, died in 1967.
Well, that's the year I was born. He was young.
Okay. He was able to produce in vitro fertilization in rabbits in 1934. Okay. 1944, he founded an institute. He never lost interest. In 1951, met Pincus, blah, blah, blah. 1952. So, during the 1950s, he was developing this pill. And interesting thing, Puerto Rico was selected as a trial site in 1955.
Ah, they breed like rabbits there.
Yes, exactly. Maybe. The trial went on and were expanded to Haiti, Mexico, and Los Angeles.
Well, yeah, I guess get the Spanish to be your guinea pigs.
Yes.
Or rabbit.
Exactly. So, Gregory Pincus is the guy that is at least, how can I say that, publicly the guy, the frontman
well,
for the pill.
At least he didn't invent it in his garage, then you know it was the military.
Yes. Okay, so I just linked the Wikipedia of Gregory Pincus on the live stream show notes.
But there must be the idea. Contraception is an idea as old as humans. So surely somebody must have been doing something before that.
Yes. Oh, yes. And in the end, hormonal experimentation was probably in use before they say it officially.
Yeah.
But yes, the ability for human to control reproduction is a massive change in humanity. Massive, massive, massive.
Yeah.
And yes, it gave most of the power to women in the end. They are not subject to have children, like you said, more early in life and all that. But maybe the calculation was that single woman, or let's say non-children having women, are better consumer in the end. Maybe they spend more money than someone that has children and is kind of bound to stay home at some times.
Well, I don't know, because a household with children probably spends more money than, and all their money, more often than a household without children. The money that is spent is, well,
yes,
it's everything. You know that.
Yes,
I
but
know
when
that.
You have children, you want to put something away for them. And maybe the powers that be don't really want that money to be put aside. Yeah. They want it to be reintroduced in the market.
I don't have the same. I'm not putting money away for my children. I'm spending it on them right now, on all their things they need. There's not going to be any money left for them. They know that.
Yes.
They're going to have to make their
yes,
own.
Yes, we already had that discussion. How can
disabled,
I say that?
But
yes, of course. I made in sort that my family inheritance goes directly to my children. I already said that to you once. I have no interest in that money. I rather have that for disposable for them to have a good
start. If you need it.
Oh, I always need it.
If you need it.
I need it.
Well,
let's say that it's a life choice. I choose to evaluate without that money. In hope that, like, for example, in 5 or 6 years, my daughter has the possibility to go study overseas or whatever without having to ask any question about money.
Oh, that's different. But
and even if she chooses to stay in Switzerland, study there or whatever, she can have a good head start in life. If she chooses to be wise enough with that money, but that's on her at this point. But I understand you. If I would have lived with my children 24/7, of course I would have taken the money and make our current life better.
Yeah, I know you have a broken family, which is too bad.
Yes, but that's also
situation.
The fact. But that's a form of mind control. In the end, that's something that was put in our mind, and society accepts that you have children and then separate from someone. And it's totally stupid, but that's how life is. That's how the movies, the TV show, the music, the books.
Well, they
everything
glamorize
is pointing
it.
Toward
they,
that. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they kind of glamorize it. It's definitely wrong. It's wrong think. Wrong think for sure.
Yes. But in the end, that gives, let's say, more less grounded adults. Some people that you can sway easier because there is something missing in the emotional part. So in the end, you can use that maybe better later in life. Like you can get those people riled up about something or afraid because they don't really have this family structure when they were young.
Well, let's give me another small moment and maybe find another post if you are interested on my site. We can discuss. I can explain it to you, what I'm trying to get at. Sometimes I don't put all the information that I want because I do most of the posting from my phone, and you know that's pretty difficult to do a lot of typing. So I sometimes don't put enough information to explain what I'm trying to talk about. But if you want to pull up another post on either MoreAb or justfakeologist.com and hoaxbusters.co, Chris's new website. He's doing a lot of posting right now. And like I told you earlier, if you download...
He's back full-time now.
Yeah. This is why I'm telling you. Download Feedly. It's an app. They have 2 or 3 apps. I use the old one. I don't like the new one. I use what they call the legacy app. Luckily, they didn't delete it from the app store. And I use that. You can load all the blogs. It's basically Twitter for blogs. Feeds were before Twitter, and
yes.
You can bring Chris's blog, my blog, all under the same roof, That way it's so easy to find the new posts, and it keeps track of the ones you read, so you don't have to read them again. Once you read the post, it's marked as read, and then you never have to worry about missing stuff, because it's all there. So I don't, that way you don't miss a post. Now, of course, most of the posts aren't interesting, even on my own blog, but you can just flip through them real fast without going to the website.
Yes, I open the tab with Feedly, and I will later in the day put it out.
And you can put it on your if you're on your phone, it's an app. You can you can use the web browser, or you can use the app. The app is better than the web browser.
Yes.
Now just give me two minutes here, and we'll discuss. Give me 2 minutes. All right, did you find a post you like?
Yes, so I found something that I find is interesting. Wolfgang Albig. Wolfgang Albig, a famous Sandy Hook conspiracy theorist, was supposedly detained for a short time and released on a ridiculous bond of $5,000. So it's not much, to be honest. In the USA, you are used to hear this... this exorbitant amount of money that are asked for someone to be liberated, but in this
but
case,
I think a bail bondsman only has to put up 10%.
Yes, exactly. So $500 to be released. I don't think that the guy will spend the night in jail in the end. And I used to think that this guy was legit for the longest time, to be honest.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, he had that appearance. He's very good. He's a very good. It's a very good, I would call it LARPer. I think he's a LARPer, too. I think he's very convincing. He fooled me. And, the charge itself of holding information on someone, I can't remember exactly the name or their social insurance.
The charge is that he somehow made public the name and detail of Leonard Posner. Not Leonard Posner. Lenny Posner. Yes, Lenny Posner.
Yeah, that
the
that character.
Father of Noah Posner, supposedly the
that
child
that
died in Sandy Hook.
Is running around wreaking havoc in the truth community, and I don't know if any of this is really happening with Mr. Fetzer there. He had this very strange court thing. I don't know if it's a real court or kangaroo court. I can't tell. I can't tell because it's really hard to tell what's really happening with that. Is it real? Yes. Is it a real core, real judge, real charges? I don't know. That's all I can say on that.
Yes, there is also a surreal hearing of Alex Jones that is saying that he suffered from psychosis that made him somehow think that some event might have been the fake. So let's listen to that.
Alex
it's
Jones
only
is
a
definitely
minute
fake.
Yes.
Alex
so let's
Jones
listen.
Is fake.
It just take a minute. Listen to Alex Jones saying that he suffered from psychosis.
You pick Bubbling Well and just tell us a little about Caesar so that we can.
That's the pet
have as much personal feeling about this as you do because we're going to be Caesar's caretakers.
Even though that guy's
take
voice sounds like Alex Jones.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
Alex.
That's why it was cool. Yes, I forgot to... Okay, I skipped.
You would agree with me that when some damage happens, when you break something, when you cause something to be lost, when you hurt somebody, whether it's intentional or whether it's a mistake, there's consequences for that, right? People should be accountable for the people they hurt.
Objection is to form.
Sometimes people claim they've been hurt and they haven't been. So you have to look at the agenda behind things. And I've, myself have, almost had like a form of psychosis back in the past where I basically thought everything was staged, even though I've now learned a lot of times things aren't staged. So, I think as a pundit and someone giving opinion, that, my opinions have been wrong, but they were never wrong consciously to hurt people.
You said false things about Sandy Hook because it was psychosis.
I'm going to say,
correct?
Well, I'm just saying that the trauma of the media and the corporations lying so much, then everything begins, you don't trust anything anymore. Okay. Kind of like a child whose parents lie to them over and over again. Well, pretty soon they don't know what reality is. So long before these lawsuits, I said that in the past I thought everything was a conspiracy, and I would kind of get into that mass groupthink of the communities that were out there saying that. So now I see that it's more in the middle. So that's where I stand.
Mr. Jones, are you finally prepared to admit that you have indeed caused these families a substantial amount of pain? Are you prepared to admit that?
I am not prepared to sign on to whatever you and the mainstream media make up about me.
All right, Mr. Jones, that'll have to be it. I'll see you next time.
So yes, it's surreal. You don't really know the setting. The camera doesn't give you any information or any clue if it was real or not. It's very, very strange.
Who was that? Who was that supposedly questioning him?
That was, let me check, that was probably a deposition that he made. The video itself was from the Huffington Post, so of course that's that. In a deposition, they don't say who he was deposing to or nothing like that, at least on the video.
Yeah, I don't have any idea who the hell that was.
Yes, but anyway, the guy is just he's just saying, okay, the things I've been saying for the past 10 or 15 years are BS, they are of no interest, and don't believe me anyway. So that's it.
I didn't think he was totally flipping over to the other side. Not the way he was speaking. He wasn't totally.
No, because he was very worried of self-incrimination. Like, he could not admit to have caused pain, because that would have been said, yes, of course, I caused pain. So, reparation. So in that sense, yes, he had to be court smart, let's say.
I don't know. I it's all too bizarre. But yeah, I think most people that are identify as fakeologists long discarded Alex Jones as just a trolled opposition. Somebody who sort of speaks like us, but in the end is working for the dark side. He's not telling the truth. He doesn't tell the truth about 9/11, which of course is a central hoax of fakeologist website. If you don't get that, then you don't get anything, and you're not worthy of discussing what we talk about. You may as well forget it.
Yes, the usefulness of all that story might be to create a precedent of someone being taken accountable for something he said on the internet. You know? It's like, beware of what you say or whatever, because Alex Jones and Wolfgang Albig and Jim Fetzer, you know all those names. Those guys pay the price, and if those guys pay the price, you yourself that doesn't have any money for a lawyer must be very worried and stop questioning anything altogether, because they got to Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Who could have believed that they got to Alex Jones? He had Trump on his show, and still they managed to get him. Everyone in the conspiracy circle must be very, very worried by now.
Yes. 100%. I agree 100%.
I think that it's it might be a part of the narrative. Be afraid, be worried. Anything you say on the internet can be used against you. But that's also the case in the French-speaking world. There is, for example, I don't really believe there is any truth to the story, but that's the media angle, let's say. There is a guy that is a right-wing polemist, let's say. And supposedly the guy is taking all sort of fine and jail time, delayed jail time every time. Because he is the director of publication of his website, and his website is publishing some kind of satirical drawings. And they want you to believe that just doing that can lead you in jail, or at least in very, very big financial trouble. Because the guy was claiming that each and every month, he was to pay in the different fine he had, €3,000, so maybe $3,500 each and every month, just in fine. So that's also the same angle. It's to get you worried and afraid, and to refrain yourself from saying certain things on the internet.
Well, if you want to lead the opposition If you want to control the opposition, rather, you have to lead the opposition. I think that is a good concept in PsyOps. You really need to control both sides. Just like if you yes. want to donate to a political party in the U.S. or anywhere, you donate to both sides. Not a problem. You got enough money, give both sides, so it doesn't matter who wins. They'll listen to you because you'll be a supporter yes. on both sides.
Yes, and it kind of give you some street credibility to have been in front of the judge. You're like the guy that that take one for the team, sort of. So then you are legit. People will invite you to a conference. You will be invited to different podcasts. So that also might be a good way to legitimize a LARPer in some sort of way. Because, yes, the guy was in jail for 2 days. The guy had to pay this big fine. So, of course, the guy is legit. He could not lie because the system is against him.
Anyway, Wolfgang Halbig, I haven't really heard anything of him in years. The only other thing about that picture is he looks really fat. And it looks like he's wearing some kind of mask. There's a bit of a line.
Yes, but I will not give much credit to the line because in all honesty, if you could do a better mask. If you really want to fake something of that nature, I think that you could do a better mask. I posted something about those hyper-realistic, it's not silicone, I don't know, Hyperflesh is the name of those. And those are masks that are made by a private company in the USA. And the thing is that those masks are so realistic that the guy is making them oversized. So you cannot really use them in real life or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that the technology could be a better mask. Yes. The oversized ones are pretty easy to put on, but I figure watching a few videos that the guy had the possibility to do a normal or at least a semi-normal shaped and sized one, but like you said, putting it on might be an issue.
Well, how would you breathe out of it?
The mask has a mouth opening and nose opening. Those masks are really, really, really impressive. There is a video of a small white girl, maybe 10, 12 years old, wearing a small dress and dancing while wearing a Mike Tyson mask. It's just too creepy. It's just something that is very, very strange. I will put the video on the show note also, but it's, yes.
Do you buy into the whole IPS mask, this guy is that guy with a mask technology? Do you believe that?
No, not at all. But I get to say that since I entertained the idea, I noticed that the hyper-realistic mask does exist. So I don't believe in that theory, but I get to say that at least in that aspect it has legs. Because those masks could totally exist. And yes, like for $5,000, I think you can get one of the standard models that the guy is doing. Nothing personalized or whatever, but like a zombie or vampire mask. So any government or private entity with enough money could buy some.
But IPS extends the idea that these masks are being used for Barack Obama to play Jeffrey Epstein. That doesn't make any sense on its own, because why bother? Why can't you have two actors? There's no advantage to having one guy do both. None.
Yes, what I think is that they don't really get this guy to play that guy. At least not a known guy. But maybe they can get an actor, put a mask on, and have him play Obama for some reason, for an event, because Obama is not there, because he's somewhere. They really need to have him somewhere. But to say that Obama is playing Epstein or whatever, I mean, just the schedule problem would be, it's stupid. Makes no sense, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I believe that the big leaders have doppelgangers or lookalikes. There's no doubt in my mind. That's a security reason. And I'm sure Saddam Hussein, one of the more famous guys, he probably had 10 or 20 that look close enough,
yes.
especially with a mustache.
Yes, Muammar Gaddafi also was famous for having many, many body double. And I am sure that I don't know if you remember that video where someone closely resembling Muammar Gaddafi is stabbed in the butt with some kind of knife. It was out late summer 2011 when he died. Shortly after, there was this video where a guy that was looking like Gaddafi was being more or less butt raped with a knife. And I am sure that it was not Muammar Gaddafi. I'm certain that it was not Muammar Gaddafi on that video.
Yeah. Now, that guy could have been wearing a mask.
Yes, clearly. Since I realized that those masks are easy to access. Yeah. Yes, exactly. He wasn't saying nothing. He doesn't really move his face. One example I can give you of a former president that was catched by the rebel and that the video is available. I don't remember the name of the guy, but the president of Liberia, the one before Charles Taylor, he was catched by the rebel and there is a part of his interrogation video that you can find anywhere on YouTube. And that looks legit. That looks like you catch the guy and now you have some question to ask or whatever. This Muammar Gaddafi video doesn't really look like it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But like I said, now that I realize that those masks are clearly very, very easy to access, I kind of changed my position. I don't think that one famous people is playing the role of another famous people, but I can consider that it's easy to replace someone if need be. It is for one event or for a longer period.
Well, I like Michael Jackson as an example because Michael Jackson replacement actors, they didn't even look that close at all. And they were really, for one person to change that much, you could not say it's surgery because there's just too many fundamental problems. And they gave up trying to convince people and they just put a surgical mask on the guy and said, oh, he lost his nose, that's why he's covering up. But no, it's because the guy is not the same guy. And the mask
I really don't know. Yes, I don't know if you can, if someone can do it via YouTube or simple video, but maybe using some facial recognition might help in that aspect. Because if you say that so-and-so is playing another person, even with masks, some feature would remain the same. And if you analyze the numbers, the space between the eyes, or some of those characters, you might establish if someone is another person. Maybe.
Yeah, but again, there's no real benefit for having one guy play two roles. I don't see the benefit. It's just easier to have two different people.
Yes, maybe in continuity, like for example, the Bill Hicks, Alex Jones story. Maybe, because it's not at the same time. So, okay, the guy can change role, and now you will be a polemist, and you will be well-known and whatever.
All right.
Yes, so I was reading a bit on... I kind of lost my train of thought at this point. Yes, the masks. Yes, the masks exist. But like I said, in continuity, I'm ready to believe that the possibility is there to replace someone with another one or whatever. Like this theory about the replacement of Paul McCartney. Those things I can believe, but to have someone play different characters is just plain stupid. I mean, would you take another job just because they ask you and say, okay, you have to be in this place in 2 hours and we have to get the makeup on? And one of those guys would have made a mistake at one point, you know, speaking with the wrong accent or saying something that is relevant to the other character. It's too much work, in my opinion.
Too much work, yeah. I think he's just confusing topics. He's confusing topics. And I don't think the CIA ever goes publicly going around publicizing what they're doing.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Once in a while, one of us wakes up. It's not supposed to happen, but it does.
IPS going around saying, and he has a good talk show, don't get me wrong. He's going around saying that this guy's playing Rob Ford, our mayor. That totally distracts from my theory, which I think is the right theory.
Chris Farley, I think.
That he faked his death. Chris Farley doesn't even look close.
No, he's just a chubby white guy. That's just it.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't look close. And Doug Ford comes from a big family here that's been established for a long time. So they didn't just insert an actor at the last minute.
Yeah, some of those people are planted from a young age. By age 20, they probably have some kind of good idea about what their life will be. They're probably kind of already in on the joke, let's say.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't want to get into the whole Ford thing right now, but I just want to state that I don't think that anyone played Doug Ford except Doug Ford, who is a real person who definitely works with
yes.
whoever is good at making people quote-unquote die.
Hi.
I hear another voice.
Yes, it's ID. He just joined us.
How's it going, guys? Sorry, I just interrupted.
Hi, ID.
Hi, how are you?
No. It's good that you are here because we are discussing masks.
Oh, really? Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I think ID wears a mask.
Yes, the famous Iron Man mask.
And ID, really we're echoing. We're echoing through your speakers again.
Yes.
Okay, well, I was just going to say hello, so... I tried to queue up video for you, Darius. That's all. Yeah, I was just saying hello. Have a good day.
Oh, nice to hear from you.
Thank you.
All right, cool.
ID from later. Kentucky.
Yep, allegedly.
Is it cold in Kentucky?
Yeah, we've got snow on. Yeah, we've got a little snow, finally. A real winter. But I'm pro-global warming, so.
All right.
Well, we'll see you guys.
Thank you,
okay.
ID. That is ID.
Okay, so since I did join in,
it's just his audio is echoing.
Yes, for some reason. But that happened from time to time. And
Yes,
and he's currently producing some content on YouTube. He's trying to reach an audience that way. So for the sake of the argument and to give some support, let's listen to a few minutes of ID on YouTube.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi, are you a truth addict? If you suffer from dupe depression, troll trauma, or shell shock, you might suffer from truth addiction. Anita Bernstein Bernstein can help. At BB, we offer counseling for truth addiction. Do you maintain more than one sock account? Did you ruin your family's vacation? What about dinner with friends? Did you dump the perfect girl because she wasn't woke enough? We specialize in reality rehab for anyone affected by the truth movement. Our grounding methods will help you land safely. True Ground Zero, the true you. These methods were developed by our volunteer military media psychologists. We can help you recover the secret to your inherent well-being, the true you. If you love 12-step for addiction, you will love our 11-step program for co-addicts based on re-predictive programming, re-psychic driving, re-reality, re-remember, re-you, re-we. Come back home where it's always 69 degrees in your head. Anita Bernstein-Bernstein, Reologist.
Yes.
Well, that was funny. That was a good spoof,
that was a great
ID.
One. Yes.
That was very good, ID. Yes. I like that.
That one was fantastic.
And it actually is true. It's not a great thing to try and bring this up to people that don't understand. It's really a religion, so that's a pretty good one. Good work, ID. I like that.
Yes, that one is excellent. So I can only encourage you to check his YouTube channel, ID Conspire. IDKANSPIRE. ID Conspire.
Yeah.
This is a YouTube channel, and that one was excellent. That one was great.
And I don't know if that's his real name, but I Conspire, of course, is a bit of a joke, I guess, on the word conspiracy, unless that is his name, which I doubt.
I doubt. Let's be honest, the guy is a specialist of different character or identity. But great guy nonetheless, and always enjoy.
Maybe he was talking about himself because he had a lot of sock puppets on Discord, didn't he?
Yes. He was known under a different alias from time to time. But we are not here to judge anyone. The guy is contributing interesting things. So.
Well, I don't mind judging people, but he did list all his IDs.
Yes.
I think, didn't he?
At least. Yes. Yes, I think that it's clear for everyone that is paying attention who he was, who he is. The real question is will be next time, but that one, that YouTube video is excellent.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But a lot of his posts for me are very obtuse. I don't really know what on earth he's talking about.
I sometimes have the impression that it's because I am not of natural English speaking guy, you know?
No, it's not. That's not why. That's not why. You speak English well enough to wonder what on earth he's saying, so.
Yeah, sometimes.
I don't think it's because because English isn't your first language. I think it's because I don't understand it either, so.
Yes, for some reason it's easier to see what you want to explain on audio. On audio I have a better time understanding everything.
Yeah, in that case he was real clear.
Yes.
That was a good little spoof on people suffering from truth addiction, which maybe he does.
Yes.
I'm not really interested in every single topic that everyone brings up.
No, but I know I did. Like I said, 2010, 2009, I probably say to each and everyone I was meeting that the Freemasons were ruling the world and all those type of crap that I was believing at the time. So I had my period, let's say, of being addicted to truth and thinking that saying the truth to as many people as possible was the way to go, even if they really don't want to be bothered with it. Which is almost everyone in the end. Not that much people want to be bothered with what you think is the truth. It's in the end, like you say, it's like a religion.
Yes.
It's like coming to everyone and saying, yes, Jesus is the Savior. And once you know that, it's exactly the same thing.
Yes, it's totally the same thing. And it doesn't work. It's antisocial.
Yes.
You have to see a glimmer of hope or a glimmer of questioning. With the person, and I usually, I just have to see a glimmer, and then I'll just crowbar in as much as I can before their head explodes.
Yes, the easiest way, the easier axe to find is sport, most of the day. You start with someone with sport, and then you say, okay, I got this fakery on sport, this fakery on sport, this fakery on sport. This fakery in the media, this fakery on sport, this fakery in the media, and in the discussion you might pass some info discreetly, let's say. But if you go straight head on, like, did you know that there was no plane on 9/11? Yeah, okay. You start a new job, you say that, and then you are the crazy guy of the office or the construction site or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I work with a guy that was worshipped Kobe Bryant. Worshipped. And when I asked him if he'd feel better if maybe Kobe wasn't dead, he said, yeah, of course. So I gave him a little bit of Kobe information there, and he's not really into it. He was into a little bit of conspiracy stuff on his own, but this one he will not accept. He's quite sure this all happened as we are told.
Yes. There is always something that people, like I said, and that is one of the first thing I ever recorded on Fakeologist, it's that, yes, there is a line in the sand. There is something that people are not ready to accept. And if you ever mention that thing, it's over. You cannot reach them anymore.
I think the closer you are to something or the more passionate you are to something, you will just not accept anything other than what you're told, because it all fits perfectly together. So you just don't want something that breaks the puzzle apart, because it would ruin everything.
Or like you explain to someone that the music industry is fake and all those people are character, they will admit it, but they will say, yes, yes, but the guy from Iron Maiden, no, 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 that guy was real. I grew up listening to it. I know that this guy is not a character, that he wrote all of his song and everything. So, yes, there is always something that people feel is too close to their personal story to admit that it's fake.
Yeah.
But it comes a time in life of each and every adult where you start to, preferably in your 20s if possible, but you start to question what you have always believed. For example, let's say by my mid-20s I did have realized that, for example, a guy like Tupac Shakur was a total fabrication, a character, just a guy that was in some art school and that was chose to play this gangsta rapper character, that there was absolutely no truth to anything he said or anything that was said about the guy.
Well, and getting back to the Dead Celebrity program, people say, yes. Well, why would they do that? Because these personalities are worth more dead than alive. Now, it's easier to see with music, but Elvis, who was definitely a messiah-type individual, he was worshipped by millions. He lived in the palace. He was just bigger than life. And every music career has an arc where it goes up, peaks, and comes back down because people change. The demographics change, tastes change, the artists change. So there's a formula. It's like a movie. Yes. You have to keep to the formula. And if you want to keep making money, and we all need to keep making money because we all have to keep going in the money system. We have to keep buying food. So you have to always have an income. Unless you're willing to change careers, as an artist, you may as well just milk your old one for what it's worth. And if you're worth more dead than alive, then you're going to do it. So Elvis was definitely on a steep decline. He was not doing well. He was not performing well. I'm sure his records stopped selling. So he had to go off the... And now he's worth way more dead than alive. Way more. Same with Michael Jackson. Way more valuable.
Yes.
So that's why you do it.
Cool.
I can't really... Yeah, I can't really speak to Kobe. I don't know exactly how the money is made there, because obviously I think he was retired. I'm not sure
yes,
how the money
was
exactly there. So I don't know exactly.
Endorsement, mainly, I think. And the guy had some interest in a movie production company.
Yeah. Now I got to take a little longer break right here, but I'll get back to you.
Okay, since we have a few minutes, I will play a song. Why not? I will play a song by a rap artist named Prodigy. He supposedly died 2 or 3 years ago choking on an egg. The song is relevant to conspiracy theorists. Let's play it.
It's a war for control.
It's not the best
control
thing
of your mind and your body.
Get to see.
Americans are traditionally independent, very hard to control. But the architects of the New World Order have ways to force you into submission. First, through a well-orchestrated agenda, including health care, financial security, safety from crime, and environmental issues, the public will be coerced into accepting a national identification card. It will be disguised in the cloak of benevolence, the government doing a great good deed for the people. Once the national identification card is in place, it will become the ID card. Without it, you'll not be able to make deposits or withdrawals at the bank, write a check at the supermarket, or even drive your automobile. Soon thereafter, legislation will require all citizens to carry their national ID card at all times.
Jelly beans, DMT, peyote. I know you feel me. T-Stone is a natural trip to me. My rhymes are so vivid, you start to see things way different. America's fate. I was fast asleep, but now I'm wide awake. I was under the spell of King Goo and Reserve Note. Religion and fashion, I used to be flashy, till I had a total recall. Forgot what I already knew. It took me 33 years for me to see the truth. Ever so clear, I was too young, I couldn't articulate myself the right way, son. But now, let me break it down, pass it all around. This is not a theory, this conspiracy is real. They wanna put me in a straight jacket in a padded room, tell the world 12 monkeys so they could be confused. Illuminati want my mind, soul, and my body. Secret society, trying to keep their eye on me. But I'ma stay incognito in places they can't find me. Make my moves strategically. Illuminati want my mind, soul, and my body. Secret society, trying to keep their eye on me. But I'ma stay incognito in places they can't find me. Make my moves strategically. They say life is like death. Well, fuck that, I'm tired playing games with some kids. Ain't no time for playing. Check the rhymes I'm saying. I write it for the streets, for the hood. Inspiration is 5A, part of the map. Where it's poverty, I started with a mob. But now I got an army of soldiers and troopers. The TV and the radio scared to death of us. So we hit the YouTube up. Now I got millions of views. Now watch how many rappers follow what P do. Now I'm too hoodie to conform to the program. I'm too much of a rebel for me to try to fit in. Nigga, it don't matter the color of your skin. Right now you either positive or you negative. I got friends in high places, multiple races, and coaches on my side. All you got is paper. Illuminati want my mind, soul, and my body. Secret society trying to keep their eye on me. But I'ma stay incognito in places they can't find me. Make my moves strategically. Illuminati want my mind, soul, and my body. Secret society trying to keep their eye on me. But I'ma stay incognito in places they can't find me. Make my moves strategically.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
You finally found my nigga. Well, now you found him. Make him fucking talk. Torture him. Make him spill his guts. You got me? Now get the fuck out of here, both of you.
1, 2, all right.
Live from the belly. They got me behind the fence. I run shit from the inside. The fucking president of the infamous gang. Get a wish for my stank. I got that icky cotton picky shit that had you days. I'm a quadruple OG. A old soul, call me the reincarnation of the pharaoh with an OE. The barrel full of hot lead. Shoot a pothead. Talking that shit about hip hop dead. Now it's live from behind the gate. Permanent smiley face. Any nigga stunning on the dog. Now you out of place. I beat a lot of cases. Had to take a L. I see you in the hot sex. Yep, hold it down. Money is worthless. Real power is people. Real strength is in the street where everybody's equal. Fuck jury. Fuck rims. Let's spend on our protection. Get armor. Get cameras. Get with it, little nigga. This man shit. Real power is people. Real strength is in the street where everybody's blocked from behind the wall. Sin stand at the wall. I'm fit to pop out this bitch like a newborn. I'm fit to cut out all the smoking and the drinking. The wine and the spirits. It's evil when you think it, baby. So I'm telling the truth. You live it, then you see it. You breathe it, then you bid. I tell you a little secret. It's a secret. Government, they worship an owl. They practice witchcraft to harness their power. Pedophiles rape little kids for energy. The satanic ritual. WTC. R.I.P. They lit the Pentagon on fire. That's lighting the pentagram on fire. All these bodies for what? See, you scare everybody in the one world, huh? All my crimes is on deck. So if you ain't come for a war, then run. Money is worthless. Real power is people. Real strength is in the street where everybody's equal. Fuck jury. fuck rim. Let's spend on our protection. Get armor, get cameras. Get with it, little nigga, this man shit. Real power is people. Real strength is in the street where everybody's people.
I'm not a big rap fan. I do like Eminem, but overall, I'm not a super big rap fan. But is that
yes.
Was there some truth in there? Is that what the point was? I heard 9/11 or
major
something.
Major recording artist was a major recording
Who
artist.
Was that?
Let's say to the. It was Prodigy of a group called Mobb Deep in New York. So the guy was very very famous during the say mid 90s to mid yes let's say 2005, let's say. And after that, he went to jail. And when he came out of jail, he was really not associated with mainline characters anymore. And he released a series of songs where he said that the Illuminati were after him and all that. To be honest, that he said that before it was popular. So that was interesting because suddenly, after he released those songs, the guy had some new contact in the industry. He was recording major hits again. He was on the circuit, let's say. So they kind of sidetracked him, you know. At one point, he was saying pretty intelligent thing, and like maybe 1 year later, he was back saying the same gangster and murderous thing again.
Okay.
So those guys can say many things, but not for long. And in the end, those days, it's become more of a gimmick. To mention like the Illuminati in a song or whatever, it's somehow trendy, let's say.
Yeah, they've always done that though. I think black rappers always talk about the Illuminati. That one really sticks with them in their community. I think.
Yes, for some reason. Yes, but it's funny. I remember in 2006 there was a rap album where the guy was saying you must read Secret Society of Americas and the Bill Cooper book. Which name escapes me at the moment. But it was funny to hear those guys. Yes, exactly. It was funny to hear those guys promoting those kind of topics. Before I ever heard speak about that. I mean, the first time I ever heard the name Illuminati was in a rap song. And I probably didn't make much of it at the time.
Yeah, Illuminati just code for the controllers of the enemy, I guess.
Yes. It has now a revival, let's say, in the 90s because of the Illuminatus card game, if you know what I speak about.
Yes. I never played it.
No, neither, but the thing is that even if we were to want to play it, it has got pretty expensive. Before I watched Simple Entry Deck, was valued and it was pretty high at the time. So it's kind of became a collector item and it's really difficult to discern which cards are really from the game and which ones were made by a graphic designer for internet or whatever. It
well,
was,
you
want
to go back to
fakeologist.com
and see what we got? Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, it was the icon of one of the bots that we were using previously. The Illuminati card game, 9/11 card.
Oh.
So, okay. Just to let you know, I will give it 10, 15 more minutes, and after that, I will have to leave.
That's fine.
So, what we have on the main site? We have this Harvey Weinstein story, but we mentioned it. We have the Hoaxbuster call 591, which I have downloaded on my phone, but... still not have listened to
it. Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
Yes, I will listen to it later, probably. So we got Wolfgang Albig, that we mentioned already. And then the next post is Insta Shooting Get Insta Result.
See that one again?
It's a Toronto story. It's Insta
What's
Shooting Get Insta Result.
Oh, yeah, instant.
It's something. Insta.
Yeah, that was Insta. Insta is short for instant or immediate. Yes. Yeah, that was another bizarre story. I think they don't. The whole story makes no sense. When a story is completely nonsensical, then I immediately think, well, the only way it makes sense is if it's fiction, if it's not real. Because they literally wrote the headline and left the details out. They said there's four guys murdered, three guys murdered, but they're not looking for any suspects. So does that mean that everyone was shooting everyone and they all canceled themselves out? That would be a great achievement. I think it's very hard to have a murder-suicide pact where everyone...
Followed through.
The story just doesn't make any sense.
Yes, most of the time the last guy get away.
Pact, yeah, if you're having a murder-suicide pact, I guarantee there's always one guy that's last and might think twice at the end, just before he pulls the trigger. At least I would.
Yes. Yes, clearly. I will not let
but
that happen
myself.
The story
makes no sense, but as I said, trying to figure out why they're hoaxing this one, and it's kind of...
The Airbnb market, I will say. Like you wrote, the Airbnb market is something that is a big concern for the political institution.
Yes. It's really screwing up with the housing market in Toronto. It's really messing with the hotel industry. I think it's having a real impact, this Airbnb, where people... Toronto, the only thing that gets built in Toronto, the city, are condos. Because all the Agenda 2030 agenda is to intensify development. So that means everything goes vertical, not spread out.
Yes. And there is less ownership now, on condos. Most of the time people just rent them month by month.
Well, here, because the average price of a condo probably in Toronto is got to be over 500,000, and that's for 400 or 500 square feet. Incredibly small. A lot of people can't afford it, young people. So who's buying these condos? Well, they like to blame foreigners. That's always the easy one. It's always the Chinese. They're buying everything. That's what we're told. But I don't think that's true either. I think mostly local people with some money buy them, and they rent them out. Now, the rents are pretty high. But you can make even more money if you make it an Airbnb and charge by the day, I suppose. Yeah, the day or by the week, maybe. You're making probably, I'm not going to say double, but you might make 30 or 40% more per month if you're willing to
yes,
put up.
Yes, and at the very least, even if you make even money, that just means that the place is not occupied as much. So there is less... can I say that? Less strain on the furniture and the equipment of the house. So you can make the same money by having your place less used, let's say, less occupied.
Yeah, well, I think you're better off having a long-term tenant, but you're not going to make as much money. There are, now, they haven't, it's hard for them to make it illegal, the city,
yes.
to regulate Airbnb.
Yes, and there is also the tax issue, because I don't think that it, in each and every country it's already in check, you know. Some countries probably struggle with the taxation of Airbnb and all that.
Yes.
I don't think that the legal framework was already there when that started exploding. So probably by now, in most countries, there is a form of taxation in place for that. But at the beginning, those guys probably got away with many things.
Well, the problem is, it's not just one guy buying one condo. He might buy five. He might have a corporation that buys 100. And that's really screwing up with the housing market because new people, first-time home buyers, can't get in because some guy is buying up all the condos and turning them into Airbnb. Now, our hotels all have lots of taxes on them, tourism tax, this tax, that tax. So the price of a hotel room is more than just what the hotel charges. There's a million taxes they collect on the behalf of the government and the city and all that. And I don't think Airbnb does the same. So it's unfair competition. So like all businesses, the drug business, if you don't like your competition, you just shoot them. But here you got to play the try and change the legislation, and that takes a long time. So what do? You'd probably call in the PSYOP business, and they come in, make an event, and they're really trying to clamp down on it. And my only angle that I can see is the only people that can really make a difference are the people that live in the building, the actual owners, if there are any, and influence the condo board to try and stop it, because they're the ones that have to try and invade a bit of privacy to figure out who lives there and what they're doing there. And they might have a small ability to influence what's happening in the condo. So if the condo board make it illegal to run an Airbnb, so if you violate a condo rule, then you have some potential ways of stopping it or slowing it down at least. And that's my thought.
Yes.
So obviously the people that live in a condo building that own the places, they don't want a hotel next door because we all know hotel rooms are not just for business people overnight. You can have parties, hookers use them, drug deals. Everything and anything can happen in a hotel room.
Yes.
So you don't want that in your condo. You don't want that.
Yes.
So
if you put
on a and show
for example,
four people were all shot in the head.
And also one thing is that in Switzerland, if you own an hotel, you are supposed to send the list of guests to the police each and every day. Each and every night, I'm sorry.
Really?
Don't know it is for NBRB, but I think that it's not the case, really. So, in the end, you might be fleeing the law and have the possibility to hide yourself just because some Airbnb are not communicating each and every information to the authority. But in Switzerland, clearly the list is sent to the police.
Really?
On a daily
basis.
Want
to take your secretary to... If you want to take your secretary to a hotel in Switzerland, the police are going to know that you're there?
You are stupid enough to have her register her name. The usual way will be to just take the room and have her get in with you without giving any name of nothing of that nature.
Oh, you give a fake name when you check in?
If you don't... In theory, you should, but... In reality, not really. Many hotels I know, so cheap hotels, have an underground way to get into the hotel where you absolutely don't need to go to the reception or whatever via the parking or something like that.
Every hotel I've ever done, they want your ID.
Oh, yes, if you take the room, but you can have the room and get someone with you in the room for a moment without them really caring about it. As long as you don't take room and have someone obviously living there with you.
Oh, I get it. Okay. You take the room, but you don't have to register everyone. I got it.
You just need one name. Anyway, I think that this is the end of the recording for today. We have been going on for more than 2 hours now. Probably 2 hours, because including the small break. But I figure that we did cover fairly extensively the main website today.
Well, I thank you. I thank you for joining me, and I thank you for talking about it with me. I appreciate that.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
Talking to myself.
Yes, for me neither.
It's always more interesting if I can see your interests. And I can try and make sense of some of my stories that I post. And, it's just a good thing. So thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. Thanks for keeping a look. The Discord's been quiet, but that's okay. I don't know if you want to... You're not allowed to post links on Reddit, so you could just maybe post some discussion. I put a link on Reddit, and I noticed it was deleted right away.
Well. Yes, there's a certain policy. Anyway, this has been a week in Fakeology. We are the 8th of February 2020. So have a nice day, everyone, and bye-bye. And don't forget to check ID Conspire YouTube channel. What we had the chance to hear today was wonderful. So check the rest. It might be of interest. Bye-bye, everyone, and have a nice day, Herb.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Merci.
That's all, folks.